Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to our series Tryst with Divinity, offering you conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. And today, our guest in the studios of Radio Sai is someone who is not only a popular name in the Indian music industry as an extremely talented singer, composer and songwriter, but also one who has been an ardent devotee of Bhagwan Baba right from his childhood. Born in Fiji, educated in Australia and living now in Mumbai, Sumit Tapo has been performing from when he was age 7, and he released his first album when he was 11. And since then, he has performed at many prestigious music festivals all over the world. But for him, performing in front of Swami has always been the high point of his life. And the last time he was here with us in the studios of Radio Sai, he shared his profound experience of performing in front of Bhagwan's Mahasamadhi on November 16, 2011. That, in fact, unveiled the curtain for the 86th birthday celebrations of Bhagwan. And today, he is with us again at our request to share a lot more pages from his Sai diary. A warm welcome to you, Brother Sumit Tapo. It's a privilege to have you again in the studios of Radio Sai. And the last time you were here, you shared your first visit to Swami, how you were drawn to his lotus feet, the turning point in your life in 1997, and your visits to Swami after that, and how he has been guiding you, giving you the salient messages and holding you every step of your life. And you mentioned about your interactions with Swami in 2001, and I remember we ended the conversation on the note purity, patience and perseverance. That's what Swami wanted. Yeah. Swami gave that as a secret to become like him. So I think there is a lot more to 2001. Maybe we'll take it from there.
Sure. In the same interview, Swami showed his divinity in so many different ways. Whilst there was a lot of interaction in dreams, guiding me on a daily basis, a weekly basis. Showing his divinity in the physical form was also beautiful. The way that he spoke about things which I thought only I knew. He mentioned some things. I remember you did this, did that, and this place, this time. To hear it from Bhagwan himself was just mind-blowing. And there were some other people in the interview as well, other devotees, and he had materialized something right in front of me, and it was a watch, which was seal wrapped in plastic, and Bhagwan, sitting right in front of Bhagwan at his divine lotus feet, and Bhagwan said, "This is not available in India. This is available in Europe," and Swami has transported himself and got this from. For a young person like me, it was unbelievable to see all those things. And those were steps towards, I guess, having that absolute 100% confidence in who he was. I always knew from childhood, because I was always told he was God. I believed he was God. I knew he was God. But there's something, that extra few percentage points which makes you realize, no, there's absolutely no doubt. In an interview that happened, and I realized, people often talk about Rama, about Krishna. People talk about the lives of Bhagwan Ram, Bhagwan Krishna, lives of Jesus and Buddha. And we often, think about how lucky those devotees were to be born at a time when Rama was present. And then I realized how lucky we have been. Devotees, who have been touched by Bhagwan Baba. With his grace, I travel all over the world and I see. And, Swami has touched millions and billions of lives. It's not only the ones who come to Prashanthi Nilayam. I know devotees in Bombay who have never been to Prashanthi. One uncle told me, "Son, I've never been to Puttaparthi, but I've been going to his bhajans and believing him for 40 years. I mean, for me, it was like, wow, that inspired me. In my home country, Fiji Islands, there are thousands of devotees who never visit a Sai center, but who are touched by Bhagwan, who have been transformed by Bhagwan, who have been guided by Swami. And there are millions of devotees, And we're all so blessed, so blessed that We've been born at a time when the Lord of creation took birth. And that realization came in an interview.
In that interview, 2001.
In that interview when I was sitting in front of him. Also realized, you know, that devotion and discipline is so important. You know, devotion is not just going to bhajans. Devotion is not just praying in the morning at the photograph of Sai, coming to Prashanthi Nilayam and having a darshan. But devotion is far beyond that. You know, it is really about dedicating yourself to him and the goal, both. And, you know, the yearning is so important. And people always say, oh no, I wish I had Swami's blessings, I wish I had Swami's grace. But actually, his grace is always there. You know, the winds of grace of Bhagavan Sri Satyasarabha is always present. And I read a beautiful example someone gave that, you know, we're on a sailboat. And if we want to go from point A to point B, if your sail is down, you will go in circles. If your sail is half up, you will catch some of that wind and, you know, the boat will go forward. But if your sails are fully up, you catch that wind and you go from point A to point B. So Swami's grace and blessings on humanity and all of us is always there. Whoever wants it, it is free for all, you take it.
Mm.
And it's really up to us. And that dedication, that discipline, that yearning for Sai is so important. And that realization came that 2001, that it is not about worshipping him, but it is actually about doing his work and really bringing about a transformation within the self. That is just so important. And when Bhagwan is physically here, he gives all an opportunity to do that. I'd moved back to Australia after that interview.
Mm.
You know, as I said before, that, you know, Bhagwan was narrating the Ram Katha in that interview. He talked about the marriage of Rama and Sita. Mm. He talked about purity, patience, perseverance. There was one point in the interview where, you know, Swami asked me to go and get a chair for an elderly lady. He said, go inside that room and you'll find a chair. It was completely dark.
Mm-hmm.
So I went inside. And I went halfway and I saw boxes. I didn't see anything else. So Swami walked in behind me. And he leant over. He put his elbow on my shoulder. And he started conversing with me in Telugu. I didn't know one word of Telugu except for Prema Sarupara, because I still hear Swami say that.
Mm.
And, you know, he was laughing and joking. He was telling me something very funny. Just like a best friend. You know how friends, we lean on each other and we tell each other a joke. I had tears rolling down my eyes. But that experience was so profound, even though I didn't understand even one word of what Swami said. But just the experience of, you know, of just being in his physical proximity was so beautiful. The way Swami is so casually, you know, and I'm thinking,
you know, he's your friend, that kind of
thing. Yeah, you know, he puts a veil of Maya in front of you, you know, that, you know, for example, he's become from Bhagavan to friend.
Mm.
And for those, that 2 minutes, he spoke to me for 2 minutes. And everyone in the interview is thinking, what is happening, you know, what is he talking about? And I laughed. When he laughed as well, because the laugh was so infectious.
Mm.
You know, he continued and then came to my senses that it is Bhagwan who is standing in front of me. So I held his hand and he said, go to the back of the room. There's a box, move the box. He couldn't say anything, you know, that all-knowing Lord, you know, there's a box there, get a chair from there and give it to the old lady. So, and I did that, and that experience in itself was so beautiful. I'd asked him in the interview at the end. He had made me his boy for the interview room, the duty boy. So helping Swami and then, you know, and giving vibhuti at the end. Actually, I recall a beautiful story. I was holding the vibhuti basket, and there was 14 people in the interview, so Swami was giving vibhuti to everyone. So he started with the ladies. So foolishly, in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm holding the vibhuti basket. Swami will give to everyone. I'll have to put the vibhuti basket back. I will miss out.
Oh.
As soon as I thought that, Swami was just about to finish with the ladies and he turned around. He slapped me. He said, hey, I know what you're thinking. picked up 9 packets and put it in my pocket.
Oh.
And he said, I know every thought that you have. Not only your words and your action. I know your every thought. And once again, it was something so small. But the way Swami does it, you know, he, as a youth, you know, you realize that Bhagavan knows everything, and that your action, your thought, your word has to be in accordance with his principles. You have to make him happy. And then at the end of the interview, I asked him, Swami, I want to sing your glory. He said, yes, yes, don't worry, I will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was 2 years prior to when he did tell me. Even at the beginning of the interview, you know, Swami was like a perfect host, you know. He called us from the darshan lines. We came to the veranda, and then he opened his door. He went inside and he set the chair. He set the room. And I'm looking at Swami inside. I'm thinking, this is Bhagavan, Lord of the universe. Yet he is showing us how to act, how to lead our lives. He doesn't have to set the room himself, but he did. He set his handkerchief. He set his chair. He looked around. He picked up a piece of dust from the floor. He put the fan on, turned the lights. He's looking around, like just like a host would do before guests would come inside their house. Looked around, and then when he was happy, then he called us inside. And then he told me to stay back after everyone left, and I did what he was doing. Without him asking me, I set everything up. And Swami put his hand behind his back and was watching. And then I got another opportunity for Padmaskar. And then I asked him, Swami, I want to sing for you. He said, yes, yes, I will tell you. I'll see you very soon. And then I went back to Australia. I was a youth leader in Australia at that time. And Swami had given that message of purity, patience, perseverance. And at the end he said, tell your youth in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Swami has said. And you know, when I went back, I shared with the youth there. It was something very beautiful for everyone. It was something which the youth required, had needed. And the year after that, in 2002, I moved back to Fiji. A lot of experiences even between that, you know, speaking in conferences. In Fiji, I'd been given the closing session, the summary. So I thought to myself, I said, you know, who am I to do a summary? It really should be done by the chairperson or the youth leaders. I'm not anyone to do it. So the next morning I was going to call the chairperson, and I would say, sir, I really feel that someone more senior should do this, and not me. I'm junior, I don't have a position, I'm just a youth. That night when I slept, Swami said, who are you to decide when to speak and what to speak about? Who are you to decide? Why do you want to give them a call and tell them that you do not want to speak? It is I who have decided that you shall speak. And then he went through 6 hours of making me remember the presentation. And that's very moving, because we really feel that he's there every part of your life. And then of course the album in 2003. The album was recorded by my guru Anup Jalotaji and myself.
Mm.
Sai Charanam.
Okay.
I had narrated an experience of Sai Charanam.
Yes, how Swami blessed you with the chance of touching his feet and mentioned that Sai Charanam.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And maybe you could sing the title track of Sai Charanam.
The title track of Sai Charanam is so beautiful.
Ganga Yamuna Kahe Sangam Sai Charanam Sai Charanam Ganga Yamuna Kahe Sangam Sai Charanam Sai Charanam sangam sai charanam sai charanam.
Ganga Yamuna kahe sangam sai charanam sai charanam. Ganga Yamuna kahe sangam sai charanam sare tirath ka hai udgam sai charanam Ganga Yamuna kahe sangam
sai charanam
Ganga Yamuna kahe sangam.
In any composition, Swami was always as particular about the lyrics and the meaning as he was particular about the tune. And I think in all these devotional songs, especially when they're in this album, you know, that adds so much of value, that adds so much of feeling when you listen the tune, when it's so much in sync with the feeling of the song, the meaning expressed in the song. I think that's what really...
This is composed by Abhinav Upadhyay, an ex-student of Swami, who is now in Bombay as a professional musician. And but you are right, you know, that the song is not just a song. I'll talk about my other albums as well later on, how they came about and how Swami inspired. But you know, each and every song, I remember that I've always made a point, you know, because each song is an offering to Bhagawan. I made a point of sitting down with lyric writers, sharing thoughts, discussing thoughts, refining the lyrics over and over again so the lyrics are perfect, and then composing it so that the song reflects the words.
Yes.
It's a, you know, that even someone who doesn't understand the words gets a feeling.
It's the
in
feeling.
Their heart.
And that's exactly what happened even on November 16th when you performed.
That album was, you know, it came about in a very strange way, actually. Abhinav and I had talked about this album. My father had also inspired me. My parents had said, "No, we should do an album for Swami." And the only other devotional album done was by Kavita Krishnamurti ji.
Yeah.
Sai Darshan. So, you know, a classic.
Yes.
In the Sai Avatar, Satya Sai Avatar. The songs, you know, composed by Bhavdeep Jaipurwale and sung by Kavita ji. There's no value to that.
Each one is a gem.
Gem of gems.
Bhakti Bhakt Bhagavant Guru Chatush Naam Bapue Tinke Pad Vandan विघ्न अनेक
since 95. There had been devotional albums and bhajan.
Yeah.
Naam Sankirtan yeah. albums, bhajan albums, but no devotional albums as such. So I prayed to Swami to give us an opportunity to do an album. So Abhinav and I talked, and then I spoke to Anupji as well, and he said, let's do something for Swami. The aim was to do something for 78th birthday. So we talked to the Maharashtra Trust, and they also came on board as producers of the album. But those discussions were happening, and then Mr. Nimish Pandya and Mr. Ramesh Savant, Mr. Anup Saxena as well, three of them from the Maharashtra Trust said, "No, we should release this album, to the whole world. It shouldn't be just for Sai devotees, but for all, for all devotees and people who know about Swami. So we should release it through a music company." And so Times Music was approached. Initially, because there hadn't been albums on Swami as such in the market, they were a bit reluctant. They said, we'll come back to you. We're not sure. And obviously asked who the artists are. And Arunji's name was mentioned. My name was mentioned. I said, look, we don't know this other singer. And then, they were told, well, he's actually a primary singer. Anupji is singing two songs and two solos and two duets, but the primary singer is this young boy. And they said, look, we don't know him. So, right now the industry is quite depressed. So, new singers coming in, and for music companies to put in funds and put in money for a new singer is not possible. They weren't looking at the album for Swami, they were looking at the singer.
They were looking at it from a commercial point of view.
Yeah, purely from a commercial point of view. And they, in a very nice way, said, no, thank you. But if Anupji does it, we'll do it, no issues.
Wow.
So Abhinav said, he's going to be the primary singer. So then, a month went by. I came to Bombay. And I had a dream that night. And a strange dream. It's Swami and I are swimming in a river, and Swami is just in his dhoti. We see a crocodile coming. The crocodile starts chasing us, so I start swimming, and I see Swami behind me. He's swimming as well, at a slower pace, and the crocodile is approaching Swami fast. So Swami is telling me, "You go, I'm slow. You save yourself." I said, "No, Swami, I can never leave you. I will help you forward. If the crocodile bites me, I don't care." So I grab Swami's hand and I swim him to shore, and we just get saved from a crocodile. Strange dream. And Swami's, Swami's wet, and he's huffing and puffing. Then he calms down and said, "Today you've saved me. I owe you one." And you'll receive that news in the morning. Dream ended. I woke up, beautiful dream, wrote it down. Exactly an hour after I woke up, Abhinav gave me a call. He said, "You wouldn't believe what's happened. Dance Music has called up and said, we'll accept that singer and ask him to do a solo album."
Wow.
Abhinav said, "What?" I said, no, ask him to do the solo album. We're absolutely fine with it. The Times Music accepted the album. And I said, "No, I will not do it solo. We will do it with Anupji as per." They're very happy. So, for that to then get released by Swami.
Brought it to Swami.
Yeah, that guy, after recording, the Swami told me in the middle, he was in the studio with us. We could feel him there. During the composition time, when Abhinav was making the compositions, and then an instrumentation, recording of the instruments. Night before, my voice recording came in my dream, materialized Vibhuti, and gave it to me and said, "Tomorrow is your voice dubbing. Swami is with you, don't worry." Technically, I was not up to the mark, I feel. I was very new to the industry, so my first professional album, you can say. I recorded two other albums before as well, but my first for a music company.
Mm.
And you know, they saw me who did it, not me. I wasn't good enough, I feel. And then at the end of the recording, you know, he said, bring the album to party. I will launch it for birthday.
This is 2003.
I brought the album to Prashant and him. There was no chance of me even, you know, who do I go and tell?
Mm.
Who do I, I'm sitting in Darshan lines. How do I get this album released? How is it launched? So these thoughts came to my mind. Because, you know, you have that, such close experiences in a dream. Which Swami says is not a dream. You know, it's actually him taking us to a different plane, giving us the experience and sending us down. And he confirmed that as well. Separately, I asked Swami, you know, once, Swami, are these dreams all real? Don't call them dreams. It's reality.
Hmm.
It's happening on a different plane. I take you to a different plane, give you the experience and send you back down to earth. So, you know, when you have that closeness, you come to Prashanti, there's thousands of other people. I said, how will this happen? I don't think it'll happen.
That too came during birthday time.
Yeah, it was so busy, you know.
Mm.
So I came on the 15th. All of a sudden, there was a performance happening on the 18th of November. I think 18th November. And someone called me. I don't know where they got my number from. Said, we heard you play the harmonium. I said, yes, I play. This singer who has come, you know, her harmonium player, couldn't make it in time. So can you play for her?
Mm-hmm.
I said, sure. Is it performing for Swami? He said, yes. It's like, wow. this can't be a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
I said, surely I'll play. And I was contacted on the 16th, 17th with a practice. On the 17th after practice, I'm thinking, okay, this is a way now of giving the album to Swami. Maybe I will not launch it for birthday. Maybe I'll give it to Bhagwan after the performance. I was sitting in darshan, quite close to, you know, looking at the portico from the men's side up. So I was looking this way and Swami was facing the front. Sitting in the front row and I was just praying to Bhagwan. That afternoon, Swami, no, he was looking. He looked around. He looked at me once, like at right angle, and looked back. Looked at me a second time, then looked back. Looked at me a third time, and these two blue lights came flying out of his eyes. And I'm seeing this come towards me, and it hit my forehead, and I went flying back.
Hmm.
The uncle behind me was so upset.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and like, two people behind me also fell with me as well. What are you doing? What's his reaction? So he fell back as well. I said, I'm so sorry, uncle. I don't know what happened. And I was completely dazed, dizzy. I didn't know where I was. I couldn't even look up because everything was just, you know, like waving in front of me. Like waves. I couldn't, my vision wasn't clear. Aarti happened. I went straight back to my room. I didn't know what had happened. And the next day was a performance. So very nicely I took the CD. We performed. Straight after the performance, Swami blessed the singer.
You remember the singer?
Hmm? Mrs. Padmaja Joglekar.
Hmm.
Fenani. Blessed her. Looked to the boys. Swami said, bhajans.
Hmm.
Bhajan started. It's Krishna, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sai Krishna, you know, he plays games. Whatever you plan, he'll make sure that that doesn't happen. He'll make sure. So in my mind, I had done this big plan, you know. Singer will sing, I will play the harmonium. After the performance, we'll go to Swami, take Pad Namaskar, and then I'll give the, you know, CD to Swami. This is all was planning.
You rehearsed it in your mind.
In my mind, I've got completely rehearsed it. And exactly the opposite happens. Swami blesses the singer. Swami looks at the boys, bhajans. I had the harmonium in my hand. Swami looked across. And then he said, just wait. He looked at me and said, wait. So I waited there. Then I was told, Jairam, please move off stage. I felt very bad. And Swami asked me to wait, but then I'm going backstage. and performers were asked to then leave the veranda. One uncle told me, "You sit here." I don't know why he told me. And very elegant gentleman who sits in the veranda, he sits, sits, sits. And why he asked me to sit was because Swami had got up from his chair and was coming towards the veranda.
Oh. Mm.
Just so happened. And that's when that experience happened where Swami looked at me and, you know, and asked for the album.
Oh.
Mm. And the Sai Charanam experience. So that's how that all came about. And that subsequent move to Bombay.
Yes, after that he asked you to move to Bombay.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And then I moved here.
Perhaps that would have given you a little more confidence.
Yes.
You had done already an album. You go to Mumbai with something in your
hands. Yes, yes. I firmly believe that I'm not capable of doing all the things that I've done. I'm just not capable. I don't have that expertise within me. Bhagwan's given a talent, the talent to sing. But he has showered his, you know, his grace and blessings.
He has always cleared those.
Yeah, you know, it's like I'm not capable of composing all the songs that I've composed. It's Bhagwan who's done it. He's the doer. I keep reminding myself of this, that I'm not the doer. I'm not the doer. He's the one who does it. And, you know, this feeling actually keeps one grounded as well.
Mm.
You realize, actually, it's not even a feeling. That's satya. That's satyam. Yeah. That is the truth. Everything that I've done is not done by me. It's purely done by him. The journey, then coming here, moving to Bombay, then being able to come so much more often to Prashanti, and sitting in the mandir, a new journey began from 2003. The interaction, and then obviously Swami had also had a fall then after that.
2003, Vrindavan.
You know, he had injured his hip. There was one day I was sitting in Darshan Lines before the album. This is in 2003. I was sitting and I was praying for him, and Bhagwan hadn't come for Darshan for a few days. And I had written a letter to him, you know, "Swami, please, you know, get well soon." And I used to cry for him in Darshan. You know, the yearning to see him, the yearning for him to become better. Not knowing what was happening. Not happening to him, why he had a fall, these things. And I'd sent a courier to his residence, just with his letter. I just wrote at the end, you know, "Swami, please let me know if you receive this letter, because I don't know if you even get it." You know, he came for Darshan in a golf cart. After his hip injury.
Yes.
I remember that Darshan he came, and I was sitting 7-8 rows back. A lot of people had come because, you know, they were expecting Swami to come for Darshan, and a lot of devotees had come praying for his recovery.
Mm.
That evening, actually, sitting 7-8 rows back, and Swami asked the driver to stop the golf cart, and he started looking. Swami started searching, looking around. I'm not sure, someone, a duty boy, had come and asked Swami, and Swami hadn't responded. He was looking. After maybe 30 or 40 seconds, his eyes locked and said, "I've received the letter."
Oh.
Loud and clear. And then the cart went. Everyone's looking, who? I was just stunned and crying like a child.
Mm.
He didn't have to do that. That so much love for just every single person. You know, in every darshan, I remember, you know, those times, the 90s and late 90s up till 2002, when I used to sit in darshan lines. Every person had an experience.
Mm.
Swami was there for everyone has their own journey. And like I said to you, if you interview a million people, you'll have a million stories, a million journeys. And that is what this avatar is all about.
That's why he's the avatar.
That's why he's the avatar. That's why he's God.
Yes.
And all the stories are so special, you know.
Absolutely.
So there were inspirations, actually, in reading those books and talking to the devotees.
Yeah.
People like Arthur Hillcott from Australia.
Yeah.
Howard Murfett. Atong Jumsai.
Yes.
Uncle Jagadishan.
Mm.
Brother Victor Kanu. Goldstein.
Mm.
and even Uncle Indralal Shah, these devotees, you know, have been, you know, representatives of Swami in the world, you know, and really for many devotees, you know, who couldn't often come to Prashanti, they were the people who brought Swami's messages.
Yes, great sources of inspiration.
Great souls, you know, and they inspired us.
Yes.
And, you know, I wanted to become like them. And that is the work I think that all devotees need to do as well, inspire others.
Yes.
That is why I've agreed to speak about my experiences today. You know, Swami recently, you know, told me some time back, share your experiences. In 2007 he asked me, he said, go and speak to the youth and share your experiences. And even after Maha Samadhi, actually I was speaking to Mr. Chakravarti. And someone who inspires me a lot. You know, I said, Uncle, I said, I don't know how you're feeling. This was in April, a day after Maha Samadhi. I said, you've been so close physically to him. The pain I'm feeling, I know, and I can't even begin to imagine your pain. He didn't respond to that, you know, he was emotional. And then I said, what experiences you've had is so amazing, so great. And Mr. Chakravarti said something to me, he said, no experience is big or small. Every experience is an experience with God. Full stop. There's nothing called a great experience. It could be profound. It could have a larger meaning. But he said, no experience is big or small. Each and every one is an experience with God. That's inspired me more, you know, to share what Bhagavan has given me. And I feel that everyone whose lives has been touched by the Kali Yuga avatar really should share their experiences.
And I know you had this chance to perform in front of Swami in 2007. I think it was July 23rd, 2007. And there must be a story to that as well.
There's a beautiful story to that. I always wanted to do a concert for Swami, a solo concert. As a singer, you know, you have this dream of having Bhagwan as your audience. And I'd even told Swami, even if it's 1 hour inside your interview room, my aim is not to perform in Kulwanthur. My aim is to perform for you. I want to sing for you. And I performed earlier on as well in a drama in the World Youth Conference, and I was one of the youth leaders for the Australian News Group. We brought a drama. This is in 2002, actually. I'll share the experience. It's very nice because it leads up to the 2007 experience. In the drama, my role was to sing a song.
Okay.
And I was doing a Nagar Singh Kirtan scene, singing around the mandir. So, and obviously, you know, from past experiences, you know, if you practice in the Purnachandra auditorium, you know, Swami sometimes used to come down.
Yes.
When his residence used to be upstairs. Used to come down during drama performances. So we were performing 2002 during the Guru Purnima celebrations. So it was Australia and Canada, I think South America, in a European country. So we had 3 days to practice in the Purnachandra auditorium. The first day, I told all the youth, you know, Swami sometimes comes down, so other elders in the, you know, who were leading the whole drama said, no, if Swami comes, then don't run to him, stay where you are, Bhagwan, you know, lack of discipline. So we're very mentally prepared that Bhagwan will come. So first the session went, Swami didn't come. After the session we sat, and the South Americans were there with us, beautiful smiles on their faces. So I asked, brother, you look very happy. Swami came for our practice. I said, really? I said, wow, you've definitely done something right, and we haven't. And next day, same thing happened. We had our practice. Swami didn't come. I think the Canadian group went, and Swami came for their drama practice. I was like, oh, we're not doing something right. So our final performance was on the day of the drama. I had lost hope. I said, no, Swami won't come. So I was helping one of the brothers to paint his face. He was doing a mime scene. And right at the back of Purnachandra auditorium. So even if Swami came, I wouldn't be able to reach him. I lost faith. I said, lost hope, rather. I said, no, Swami won't come. So I told him, I said, you know, I, maybe we're not disciplined enough, that Swami hasn't come, maybe we haven't got that devotion that we should have. And he said, what song are you singing? You know, I said, oh, Sai Narayana, why don't you sing it from your heart? He will come.
Mm-hmm.
That song, you know, oh, Sai Narayana, darshan dijo, tumhi ho jagat ke data, tumhi ho jagat ke data. I said, yeah, it's a song to actually call Swami. Let me test him to see if he hears this. And I forgot. So I went, my part came in the drama, I quickly went to put the harmonium on my shoulders and went up. As I walked up on stage, a door opened from behind the curtain. I heard small footsteps coming towards the center of the curtain. In my mind, I thought it might be Bhagwan. But I didn't know what to expect. So we continued with the practice. As I reached the middle of the curtain, Swami opened the curtain from the middle. Said, what? And I froze completely. And he said, you called me from the back. So I came. And I was frozen like an ice statue. I didn't say anything to him. I was just completely stunned. And he said, the same thing again. I know your thoughts, words and deeds. Very happy, blessed. Closed the curtain and left.
Oh, he didn't come out.
No.
He came only for you.
Well, he came for all of us, actually. Everyone saw. Everyone had the darshan of Bhagwan. So he called me and I came. You know, that, I don't know what it was. It was just all the youth were so emotional because Swami had come. Before the drama in the afternoon, we were all seated behind Punchandra Vajoyam. You know, then Bhagwan came out and looked at the first boy. He had a whole face paint and Swami made such a comical face. You know, because we were all very nervous. So settled the nerves down. He talked to the youth and looked at me and said, ah, Singhar is here. He said, my Singhar is here. And Uncle Leonardo Kutta from Argentina was there. He looked at me and said, my Singhar is here. He said, yes, Swami, he's a singer. He looked at me and said, you remember what happened today? You called me from there. And Swami heard you upstairs. And Swami came down. You remember, no? I said, obviously, Swami. So thank you, Swami, thank you. Didn't say anything after that. And the drama happened, the performance happened. I'm going back one more year. 2001. As a young kid, growing up in Fiji in Australia, I had always wanted a photo with Swami. It was like, you know,
a dream
in my life that I really, really wanted to fulfill. I wanted a photo with my Lord. In 2001, in an interview, I had taken a camera inside. And the first question that I asked Swami after he asked us how we were, Swami, can I take a photograph with you? And Swami said, oh yes, but not now, I will tell you. So I then asked Swami, before the interview ends, oh yes, yes, we will take a photograph. The interview ended, I came out of the interview room, I went back in the darshan lines. As I sat down, I'm feeling my camera in the pocket, saying, oh, Sai Ram, I've forgotten to take a photograph. And Swami even said, yes. And all that beautiful thing that happened for an hour and 25 minutes, Ram Katha, the advice, is all out the window, you know.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten everything. For that moment, I said, oh my God, what a fool I am. I've forgotten to take a photo with my Lord.
A loss.
I was depressed. Everyone else was like, you know, jumping with joy. And here I am, sitting down with a castor oil face.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what happened to you? I said, I didn't take a photo. I was crying and saying, I didn't take a photo with my Swami. Said, look, you know, you'll have opportunities in future, don't worry. So after an hour or two, I recovered from that chaotic experience of, you know, not being able to take a photograph. And I forgot about it. Too bad, it didn't happen. Swami's will. Cut to 2002, the drama. At the end of the drama, Swami came. And he came on stage, you know, he blessed all the youth. And then he came back to the middle. And I was a third person inside. So the sisters were there. There was a gap for Swami. And then there was one. I was a third person. He came to me. He tapped my shoulder. He said, "Turn around. The time has come for the photo."
He said that?
Yeah. So he put his right hand on my shoulder. And we all took photographs. Still I'm not remembering what he meant. Click, 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 click. And then we all looked up at Swami, and he looked down at one of the boys and said, "Are you all happy?" And everyone was like, "Swami, we're so happy. Thank you, Swami." He looked at me and said, "Are you happy?" Swami never forgets. Swami never forgets. "Yes, Swami." Swami went. After Arati, one uncle came to me and he said, "There's a beautiful photo of you speaking to Swami and Swami looking down." When he gave me the photograph, I realized what Swami had meant. That yes, I, you know.
You didn't realize when Swami was telling you.
No. And that's when I, you know, realized that something that Swami always says, that a prayer from the heart, a true prayer, is never denied. I delay it and give it to you at the right time. And there was a lesson in that because something was a very pure thing. It was for me. It was a photograph for me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to show anyone else. I wanted to keep it in my room and look up at my Swami is with me always. And you know, I cherish that photograph. And you know, when you pray with all your heart for something, if it's pure, Swami will give it to you. I must have prayed so much because he gave me more than 200 photographs after that.
You are listening to the second part of a conversation with Sumit Thapu, an acclaimed singer of India who has been performing since he was just 7 years old. A disciple of Sri Anup Jalota, Sumit today is an emerging star in the world of Indian music. As you heard in the conversation, Sumit loved Baba right from his childhood and has been visiting Prashanthi Nilayam every year since his teenage years. He has had the chance to perform in Bhagwan's Divine Presence on several occasions. He was in Prashanthi Nilayam yet again in November 2011 and had the opportunity to make his musical offerings to Swami on November 16, 2011. In the current interview, he shared the priceless moments of his life when he was a fortunate recipient of divine grace and love. This interview was recorded in the month of November 2011. In conversation with Sumit Thapu was Radio Sai's Pishu Prushti. We hope you enjoyed this program. This was yet another episode of our series, Tryst with Divinity. For any feedback or comments on this series, please write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.